Hosanna, a fellowship of Christians.
Well, the theme for the last 10 minutes or so has been about serving others in the name of Jesus. And we're now going to hear from somebody who walks the talk. Rick and Beth McKinney just are tremendous influence in so many lives here. I hear it from you. A lot of things that happen up here, but an awful lot of things that happen behind the scenes. And I just, I have been wonderfully encouraged and enriched by their presence in my life. So I look forward to hearing Rick McKinney speak, as he does somewhat occasionally here, not just because he has good words, but because I know he has a good life that models what he says. So Rick, why don't you come and share with us?
And good morning, everyone. I hope you are doing well. I'm doing well. I had a car accident about 4 weeks ago. Somebody really smashed into my car. And I bought another car that next weekend online. So if you want to talk about buying a car online, just come and talk to me. So for those of you who don't know, I, on Friday nights, for fun, I drive for Uber. One of these days when I grow up and decide to do something different than what I'm doing for my full-time job, I wanted to find out if that might be fun to do. So this last Friday night was the first Friday night I got to go out after my accident, so I had a lot of fun doing that. So with all that said, let me ask you this. How many of you remember Where's Waldo? All right. So we're going to do a couple of Where's Waldo this morning. So take a look here and see if you can figure out where Waldo is. Now, it would be easier maybe if it was up close, but see if you can find Waldo. We'll give you just a couple of seconds to see if you can find Waldo there. All right. Anybody think you found Waldo yet? Raise your hand if you think you found Waldo. A couple of you think you found. Now, sometimes, you know, when you think you found Waldo, you really haven't found him because the artist makes someone that kind of looks like Waldo. Who's Waldo? Where's Waldo? Not who's Waldo. You've got the wrong one here. All right, let's take a look and find out where Waldo is. Now, it's right there. So there's Waldo right there. I know it's kind of hard to see, but that's where he is. Let's do another one. This one might be a little easier because there aren't quite as many people in there. It's not quite as small. Give you a second here, see if you can find Waldo. Of course, you know, there are a lot of stripes, and Waldo has stripes, so you got to look around, see if you can find the right one, where he's wearing glasses and got his hat on and everything else. You think you found Waldo? Raise your hand if you think you found him. A little easier. So where's Waldo here? It happens to me he's kind of in the same place in this particular one. That's usually not the case, but the two that I picked out, it just was kind of happened that way. So with Where's Waldo, you know, you're trying to figure out where, if you, you know, some people don't even want to do that. Forget it. You know, it's too hard. I don't want to, you know, that's, Beth wouldn't have no fun with that at all. She'd say, forget it. I don't care where Waldo is. How many of you, if you looked at something like that, would say, I really don't care where Waldo is? Yes. Yeah. That's what I figure. All right. Well, you know, have you ever felt like, though, trying to find the will of God is like trying to find Where's Waldo? Is it over here? Is it over here? It looks like it's here, but is it here? Have you ever felt that way? I think sometimes we do. And today, what I want to look at, and go to the next slide, please. I think the title slide is next. Is, you know, where am I? Where am I? Well, and the subtitle could be in relationship to the will of God. Not only where is the will of God, but where am I? You know, the will of God here, and am I here? Or is the will of God here, and I'm here? Where am I? So let me ask you a question. When do you, when do we, think about the will of God? Did you think about the will of God when you got up this morning? Maybe not. How about when you decided what you were going to wear this morning? No. How about this week when you headed out to work, or went to eat lunch, or prepared dinner, Or dress the kids. Come on, come on, come on. Here they're coming, they're coming, they're coming, they're coming. Or watch some TV. One more. Think we got, there we go. Did you think about the God, will of God then? Any of those times? Shake your head. No, probably not. So how many times in the past week have you thought about the will of God? You don't have to answer that, but think about it. Once? Twice? Three times? Four times? Zero times, maybe? Is that bad? Is it okay? When in our lives are we most likely to think about the will of God? Maybe when we're choosing a church to attend. Those of you who have the last time you looked for a church and you decided to come here, or other times when you were looking for a church, did you ask God about it? Probably, more than likely. You know, is this the right church? Is this the place where I'm supposed to be? How about when you chose a person to marry? Some of you may have at that point in time said, God, is this the right person? You know, is this the right person to marry? Or how about when you decided to have a family? Or what house to buy? Or what vocation or job to take? Or maybe when life throws you a curve. Yeah. You don't want to get hit by the ball, do you? Those are the times that we kind of have a tendency to think about the will of God, isn't it? You know, it tends to be, for most of us, maybe when there are bigger things at store and things for us to think about. But what does the Bible say about the will of God? There are a lot of verses. You know, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul says that the will of God is for us to give thanks in all circumstances. In Matthew, or 1 Thessalonians again, God's will is for our sanctification, for us to be holy, for us to live our lives in a manner that God would like for us to. In Matthew, Jesus said to God, you know, your will be done, and in the prayer, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God's will, we want his will to be done. Ephesians, Paul says, understand what the will of the Lord is. 2 Timothy, God desires all people to be saved. And in John, Jesus said, for this is the will of my Father that everyone, you like the way I spelled everyone there? Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Now, if I hadn't pointed that out, you would have never noticed it, all right? But I want to let you know, I do make mistakes. Beth has a hard time believing that that's true, but I do at least make one or two mistakes a year, okay? I didn't hear a word she said, and neither did you, okay? Not a word. Na, 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 na. Let's go to the next slide, please. Na, 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 na. In Romans, it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're going to come back to that one in a little while. And then Jesus said the greatest commandments, and if we're talking about commandments, that would be the will of God, right? You know, if God's commanding something, then this would be what God wants done. And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So if we think about the will of God, maybe in a general sense we could say, you know, God's will is for all people to have a relationship with him, right? I think generally we could say that's God's will. And another, in a general sense, is that God's will for us is to what? Love him and love others. So in that general sense, we can really know that if we're doing those things, that we are in the will of God. Now, I guess the question is, you know, does God have a more specific will? Yeah, maybe. You like that answer? Maybe. Maybe yes, maybe no. If we think about a specific will, you know, if there are certain things that God doesn't want us to do, then if we're not doing those things, we'd be in the will of God. And if we're doing those things, we probably wouldn't be obeying the will of God. And I think the Bible talks about some of that. The Bible says there are some definite no's, right? You know, No murder, don't lie, don't steal, don't commit adultery. And a whole bunch of other no's. I didn't list them all. But there are certain things that the Bible says, don't do these things. And obviously, if we're in the will of God and looking for God's will, we're not going to do those things because we know those things are not correct. There are other things in the Bible that are used to be no's. You like that one? Used to be no's. Dietary laws, forbidden foods. There were certain things that God said you are not to eat. But in the New Testament, what happened? He changed all that, all right? And there were other things, such as touching a person with a bodily discharge. You know, that would make you unclean. You don't do that. Touching a person with a skin disease. Again, that would make you unclean, and that was no. Touching a dead body, well, most of us don't want to do that anyway, you know, unless you are a funeral director or something along that line. But these are all things that, you know, the Bible has clearly said these used to be no's, but now they're not anymore. And then how about the maybe no's? Now, this is a little more complicated here. In fact, you know, do me a favor. Go back to the used to be no's for just a second, please. There can be some discussion about used to be no's. Think about Seventh-day Adventists. When do they worship? On Saturday. Because you're supposed to make the Sabbath day holy. And then, of course, you think about the Amish and others. You know, there are certain things where there's some discussion on really what the used to be no's are. Let's go to the maybe knows. So I want to let's read this verse together here. As for myself, I am perfectly sure on the authority of the Lord Jesus that there is nothing really wrong with eating meat that has been offered to idols. So let's stop here for a second. So remember, in New Testament days, you know, there were a lot of idol worship. And they would offer meat to the idols, and then the idol didn't eat it. So somebody got to eat it. So the question was it wrong for Christians to eat meat that was offered to an idol? And this is Paul's answer here. So as for myself, I am perfectly sure on the authority of the Lord that there is nothing really wrong with eating meat that has been offered to idols. But if someone believes it's wrong, then he shouldn't do it because for him it is wrong. And if your brother is bothered by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you go ahead and eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Don't do anything that will cause criticism against yourself, even though you know that what you do is right. Anyone here ever grow up in a household that was really strict and maybe playing cards was a wrong thing to do? Any of you? All right, okay. Okay, so does the Bible say thou shalt not play cards? No. Did the Bible say thou shalt not eat meat that's been offered to idols? No. But somewhere along the line, somebody decided that if you're going to be a good Christian, you don't play cards. So Tony grows up in a house where it's wrong to play cards. And he's a good boy, and he's obeying mom and dad, you know? So if you invite him over to play cards and it's okay with you, is that right or wrong? Obviously, it's wrong, because for him, playing cards is not a good thing to be done. It's a sin. So we've got to recognize that there are some maybes in here. It may be okay for you to do something, but it might not be okay for you to do that if it's going to cause a problem for somebody else. So we've got the definite no's. We've got the used to be no's, which you can have a little discussion on. And then the maybe no's. So as we're looking at the will of God, you know, just need to be aware of those types of things. But what about God's will specifically for you and for your life? Have you ever heard the phrase, perfect will of God? Come on, raise your hand. Everybody's heard that, perfect will of God. Is there a perfect will of God for your life? Well, there are a lot of people who believe that would be the case. If we take a look here, we're going to see there's a book called How to Find the Perfect Will of God. There's another one that says Walking in the Perfect Will of God. There's another one that says why you should be in the perfect will of God. And then we got the word perfect will of God's not here, but it says God's way, next exit. My way, no exit. All right, so let's talk about that one first. God's way, my way. That kind of makes it think that if I'm going my way, then I'm definitely not going God's way, doesn't it? So that means I've got to find out what my way is and just go the opposite way? And then it'll be God's way? I don't know. That's kind of what it sounds like. And I haven't read all these books, so please, I don't know everything that's in these books. But the general idea here, when you talk about the perfect will of God, you got the perfect will of God, and you've got the, do you remember what the other P is? Not perfect will of God? The permissive will of God. So if you made a mistake and missed out on the perfect will of God, hopefully you're in the permissive will of God at least, if you're trying to follow the right step. So my question is this. Does God really have a perfect plan for your life and for mine that we need to discover? And if the answer is yes, number one, why is it so hard to find? And number two is, if we take a wrong turn and miss it, are we out of luck for the rest of our lives? I mean, look at it this way. If God's got a perfect will and you've taken one step outside of that perfect will, does that mean you're done for? I mean, where is it? Let me make a suggestion. What about God's perfect plan for your life is for you to be the best you that you can be? What do you think about that? Think about this for a second. Was it God's perfect will for you to get up this morning and wear what you're wearing? God doesn't care, does he? I mean, I could have worn jeans and a t-shirt and sneakers. God wouldn't be mad. He doesn't really care. Doesn't really make any difference. I could have brought my harmonica and played harmonica for you today. Some of you would have loved it. Some of you would have hated it. I would have had fun. But, you know, where is it, you know? Now, let's take that another step further here for just a second. So 6 weeks ago or so, maybe 8 weeks, I get an email from Tony.
Hey, Rick.
That's how Tony's emails sound.
Hey, Rick. You know, Joanne and I take July off. Would you like to preach one Sunday in July?
Well, what am I going to say? Am I going to say no? Is Rick going to say no? Come on, is Rick going to say no? No. What's Rick going to say? Yes. Does Rick have any idea what he's going to say when he gets up here? No. But Rick says yes. So then Rick says, okay, God. I said yes. Where are we going with this thing? So I don't know. I don't. You know, and so, you know, we're taking a look at this thing and saying, you know, okay. Now, did I pray and ask God if I should teach this Sunday? No. I like being up here and talking to you guys. I like asking God, what is there that I can share? And a few of you like it too, I guess, you know, once in a while. So I chose to be here today. Tony chose to let me be here and Joanne. They probably didn't ask God either. Did you ask God and pray first of all, Tony, to see should Rick be up here? You did a little bit. You're not a good example, Tony. Well, he prayed, I didn't. I made a choice. But then after I made my choice, I needed to say, okay, God, where are we going with this? Well, I don't have the faintest idea. And little by little, I felt like God began to share something with me. You know, back several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, talked about who am I? And God said, let's go where am I? Okay, God, but what does that mean? And we started thinking about the will of God. See? And if we can come and understand that God's perfect plan for your life is for you to be the best you that you can be, it makes finding the will of God a whole lot easier, you know? Think about it for a moment. You're trying to decide for a vocation. Well, what do you like to do? You're looking for a spouse in your life. Well, who do you like to be with? You know, what are the things that you like to do? What are the things that you are good at doing? God gifted you that way for a reason. I am never going to make a living doing drawings and paintings like Hadi and Pinka. Because God didn't gift me to do that. And for me to say, that's what I'm going to do, I'm not going to say it's stupid necessarily. I'm not saying I couldn't learn to do it, but it's not going to be natural. It's not going to be something that just comes naturally. I can be a great Uber driver because I like to talk to people. But sometimes people don't want to talk, so you just be quiet, you know? So, you know, when we talk about the perfect will of God, I want us to come back to Romans here for a second. And it says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, it doesn't say perfect will of God there, obviously. What it says is that by testing and seeing what's going on, we can see the will of God and see that it is good and that it is acceptable and it is perfect. Now, perfect there doesn't mean there's without fault. What perfect means is that it's mature and complete. And as you and I, as we become more mature as Christians, we can begin to understand God's will and what's going on. And the question here, though, is, are there ever times that God specifically has certain things he wants us to do? And I think the answer to that would be yes. You know, if you think about this for a second, you know, God called Moses in the Old Testament. He called the prophets. He's told other people to do. And in the New Testament, Paul and Barnabas, let's go to the next slide here. Saul and Barnabas were commissioned by God. And one day, when the church was worshiping God, they were also fasting, they're waiting for guidance, and the Holy Spirit said, take Barnabas and Saul and commission them for the work that we've called them to do. So God had a specific thing for them to do. There's another verse. Take a look at this next one, Paul's vision in Acts. So during the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, come over to Macedonia and help us. After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel. Again, God said, I want you to go here. He gave Paul a specific vision and said, this is where I want you to go. Now let's look at the next verse here. Paul and Barnabas disagree. Barnabas wanted to take John along. Now, they're getting ready to go on another missionary journey. John Mark had been with them on a missionary journey previously. And for whatever reason, and we don't know the reason, he left. So they're getting ready to go on another missionary journey, and Barnabas wants to take John, the John nicknamed Mark. But Paul wouldn't have him. He wasn't about to take along a quitter who, as soon as the going got tough, had jumped ship on them in Pamphylia. Tempers flared, and they ended up going their separate ways. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. Paul chose Silas, and offered up by their friends to the grace of the master, went to Syria and Cilicia to build up muscle and sinew in those congregations. You like that? Muscle and sinew in the congregations. All right. Now, is there anywhere here that it says that either of them heard from God? I mean, I'm not saying they did or didn't. We're just saying that the Scripture doesn't tell us that, okay? The Scripture doesn't say God told Paul not to take Mark. God told Barnabas to take Mark. We don't really know. What we do know is that there was a disagreement. And we know as a result of that, they split up and went their separate ways. Is it possible, and I don't know because we don't know for sure, but is it possible that God didn't say anything to either of them and they just made their own decisions? Well, we don't know for sure, but that's definitely a possibility. And the thing to recognize is that God can have certain things that he wants you to do. One of the things that Francesco and Tony talked about back a couple of weeks ago is listening to God. Remember those of you who are here? And some of the things that were said, how do you hear from God? Well, it might be a nudge. What's a nudge? kind of a feeling inside. Or maybe you've had a feeling that you wanted to do something, and then somebody else comes along and confirms it and says, you ought to be doing this, or have you thought about doing this, whatever that may be. Or maybe somebody comes along and asks you to do something that you weren't even thinking about, but when they say it, maybe you start thinking, maybe that's really what God wants me to do. There are a variety of ways that God can speak to us. Tony was talking about the fact that he was on top of a mountain and listening for God as far as his next position was concerned, and he heard God really speak to him. So there are just a variety of ways. So God can and does speak to us. How many of you here were ever children? Were you ever a child? Anybody here? Oh, three or four of you. Okay, the rest of you were just born as adults. Very good. I'm glad. Glad to hear that. Excellent. Okay. Now, when you were a child, there were times that mother or dad had certain things they wanted you to do and they told you to do it, right? Everybody shake your head, yes. Now, if you didn't understand, did they make sure you understood? Yes. And if you chose not to do what they wanted you to do, did they make it clear that you were to do it anyway? Yes. They were very, very clear. Now understand this. I think the Bible talks about the fact that God is our Father and we are his children. Do you think it's possible that if God wants you to do something, he's going to try to make it clear to you? Yeah. Now, please understand this. I'm not saying that there aren't times that we don't wonder what God wants us to do. I'm not saying there aren't times that it's not as clear as we want it to be. But what I'm saying is this. Let's say if it's not clear and you're not sure, can you ask God to help you be sure? Absolutely. And sometimes God might just say, start taking steps and I will show you along the way. How many of us love that? Come on, come on, come on. Yeah, none of us do. Excuse me, God, I want to see at least 5 steps ahead or 6. Or really, it would be really good to show me where we're going. Sometimes God, his direction is, it's clear. Take this step. I don't want to do it, God. You're not doing it my way. Do it my way and we'll be okay. God says, no, let's do it. Think about this for a second. Weren't there times that your mother and dad said, I want you to do this, and you said, why? And what they were doing is trying to lead you along a path to something that was going to be really good for you, but they didn't want to tell you everything at one time. See, that's a possibility. Yeah, it really is. And the one thing that God doesn't do, though, he doesn't put the doors up like Monty Hall. All right, here we are, folks. We got 3 doors here. You can choose number 1, or you can choose number 2, or you can choose number 3. And I am not going to tell you which one is the right one. Which one do you choose today? Oh, I see a lot of you want door number 3. Let me show you what's behind door number. You chose the donkey. Too bad, so sad, you lose. Now, is God going to do that? No, probably not. But sometimes we feel like that's what's going on, isn't it? Yeah. We really do. There are times that we can make a choice. And it's not the right choice. And if that happens, God's going to show us right away. Some of you who have been around a while, I've shared this story before. When Beth and I went to seminary, I was going to go to school full-time. She was going to get a full-time job. We knew how much money we needed. She didn't. How many of you like looking for a job? Anybody here? How many of you hate looking for a job? Okay, Beth, raise your hand really, really high, really, really high. Yeah. We had a little struggle, but she went out looking for jobs. She ended up with two job possibilities. One job possibility was going to pay the bills that we needed without me having to work. I was going to be working for a kind of a bullpen with some guys. In those days, they still smoked in their offices, and that was a bad situation because just she didn't respond well to smoke and long hair and all kinds of stuff. The other one was a job at the seminary, and it didn't pay the bills that we needed. So I said, you need to go take that job, the one, you know, that paid more. And she called them up, called the seminary and said, no. The minute that happened, I knew in my heart it was the wrong thing. Have you ever done that? You made a decision and just knew it was not the right thing to do. So I said to her, I hate to ask you to do this, but I think the best thing for us to do is you call the other guys back and say no, ask the seminary if you still got the job, and they say yes. And she did that, and then I ended up with a couple of part-time jobs, and everything worked out fine. There are times when you're going to make a decision, and the minute you make that decision, you know it's wrong. What are you going to do about it? God's showing you that's not the right thing to do. So it's time to change. It's time to switch it up and do that, all right? So let me ask this question. What happens when you feel like you've heard from God, but things don't work out the way you thought they were going to work out? Did you really hear from God, or did you not hear from God? Let's look at Romans here real quick. When we hear from God, things don't work out. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows us far better than we know ourselves. He knows our pregnant condition and keeps us present before God. Here's the part. That's why we can be so sure that every detail of our lives and our love for God is worked out into something good. If you believe you've heard God, go for it. If it doesn't turn out the way you think it should or you hoped it would, it does not necessarily mean you didn't hear from God. I got fired from a job, you know? Did I miss God? No. Another job, I got moved from one position to another position without ever being asked, and I didn't like it. Does that mean I didn't hear from God by taking that job? No. What it meant, God knew what was going to happen, and in the midst of that, there are certain things he wanted me to learn. It wasn't my choice. It was circumstances. I'm not saying that God deliberately made those circumstances happen. Those are the choices of people around me. And as a result of that, though, I've grown, and a lot of things have happened. And then let me ask one other thing here. What happens when we mess up? There are times that we mess up. Either we do something we know we shouldn't do, we make a decision that wasn't a good decision. Whatever it is, we mess up. And sometimes when we mess up, you know what we feel like? We've blown it. I mean, really blown it. And we're out of God's will now for good. You know, forget about the permissive will of God. We're not going to find God's will at all. Because God is not going to ever give us anything, use us, or whatever it may be. We're in the black box. That's it. People, if anybody was going to get in the black box, it'd be Peter. Because he denied Jesus 3 times. And when he denied him, you know, Jesus came back, and what did he do? He forgave him, and he gave him grace upon grace upon grace. I'm not going to say if you mess up, because we all do it. I'm going to say when you mess up. God's grace is there. You can still be in the will of God. Sometimes we feel like God's will is a maze. Is it a maze? If it is, what happens? How many of you have ever done mazes? And you know, if they're complex enough, it's almost impossible to do a maze right the first time, isn't it? If they're simple, you can kind of figure it out. But if it's complex enough, you end up what? You end up at a wrong spot, and then what do you have to do? Go back again. You end up in another wrong spot. Go back again. God's will is not a maze. I would prefer to say that God's will is more like this. A rail yard. Now, it may be difficult to see, but in a rail yard, what happens? We've got a track, and then it splits up into a lot of tracks, doesn't it? Now, some of those splits might be good splits. Maybe you made a good choice and a good decision. But maybe one of those splits was a mess up, all right? But where are they all going to? Where are all those tracks going to? Coming back together, aren't they, see? And if you make a mess up and you come back to God and you confess and receive his forgiveness and his grace, what's going to happen? You might not be on the same track that you would have been earlier, but are you still moving toward God? Absolutely. You really are. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you four words of encouragement, and we're done. Let's look at the words of encouragement. First of all, love God, love others, and be the best you that you can be. That's God's plan for your life. Secondly, God wants you to know his will. He's not out there playing hide and seek with you. He's not saying, na 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 na, come and find me. He's saying, here I am, come and find me. I may not show it to you the way you want. I may not speak to you the way you expect, but I will speak to you and I will show you. If things don't turn out as expected, trust God. Know that even when they don't turn out as you expect, God's working for good in your life and some good things are going to happen. And finally, when you mess up, again, not if you mess up, but when you mess up, rest in God's grace. And not only God's grace, but receive his grace from those around you. And when you see someone who's messed up, extend God's grace to them to help them to be able to receive it. So I want to encourage you today, be the best you that you can be. Walk in God's will every day, even when you're not thinking about God's will. All right? We're going to have a time of reflection for those who want to stay. If you're not going to stay in here, we would ask you to leave quietly and feel free to visit with each other out in the foyer, so you can go ahead and stand and go now.